Welcome to the C3 Toronto podcast. We're so glad you're here. We're believing God is going to speak to you through this message today, right where you're at. Thanks for tuning in.
All right. So the title for this message is On Your Mark, Get Set, Go. You know, we're running, right? And I like the image of the athlete there because we're on a race. You can call it a race, you can call it a marathon, you can call it walking out your faith, whichever way you want to coin it. The reality is that we are taking a step. We are always taking a step. And on your mark, get set, go is really to give us a picture of athletes like running towards something, running towards the prize. And as people in this house who already follow Jesus, the day we gave our life to Jesus was the day we got on the mark of salvation. That's the day we decide, okay, yes, I want to follow Jesus. And the premise of this is in Galatians 2:19. That says, through the law, I died to the law, so that I might live for God. Yeah. Through the law, I died to the law, so that I might live for God. So if you read that and you're like, okay, law comes up twice. And say something about dying to it, dying to law. Well, that's because ultimately when we actually get on the mark of salvation, what we are saying is that, Jesus, I want to be a follower of you. Jesus, I want to get to love you with my whole heart. And usually we are told there are guardrails. Usually we are told there are certain things you must do to really show that we love Jesus. And here Apostle Paul was saying that through the law, I died to the law so that I might live for God. He's saying, yes, I know there are laws. I know there are probably guardrails, but at the end of the day, I get to live for God out of the abundance of the love that I have for God. This is not about the law. This is about my love towards God. So on that race that we want to run, on that race that we're on the mark on, we are running towards God. We are running towards to be more like Jesus, not because of some laws, but because we love him so much. We know there is no one else as worthy. There is no one else as worthy for our loyalty, for our love, than Jesus. So that is why most of us want to live for God. Right? I legitimately want to do everything it takes to show God that I love him. But for some reason, I fall short. For some reason, this guy by me, what I say I'm going to do, I don't do it. What I say I'm not going to do, I find myself doing it. And it's like, I find myself really condemning myself because I'm falling short of all those laws to the point that I'm almost becoming a slave to it. But that's not being on the mark. Because the mark actually frees me from that. Point one, on your mark. On your mark. So when we do that, when we actually say, Jesus, I want to follow you to the end of the heart, what we actually are going through is sanctification. We are being set apart. So sanctification is to be sanctified and to be set apart. So we are saying, away with the old, in come the new. The new me, the new Bami. Like the Bami of 2015 and the Bami of 2024 is different. But between 2015 and 2024, there is a whole series of stuff that's actually happened between then and now. And that journey requires training. And that journey requires that this man standing right here has gone through a series of transformation to become more Christ-like. So on your mark actually paints a picture. I know what I'm going towards. Right? I know what I'm going towards. And I think it's a beautiful picture for every Christian, for anyone who chooses Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That process of training is beautiful. Transformation. That process is beautiful. There's something beautiful about it. And right now, for all the new dads, you probably can relate, but I have 11-month-old boy, Ari, amazing kid. He's learning sign language right now. I'm also learning sign language right now, apparently. And you just learn, this is what more means. You know, you this is thank you, right? And this is I'm done. And all this is supposed to help him communicate to us as parents. And there are times I catch myself saying, no, no, no. And before you know it, he's doing this. No, no. So literally my boy is imitating me right now in the season. And that's what Christ actually calls us to do. He tells us to imitate him. So on our mark, looking towards that prize, what we're actually doing is saying, I want to be Christ-like, but I also know what Christ is like. So it's something I can actually pursue. Right? And sometimes, obviously, Ari just refuses to do the sign language, right? He was like, no, just give me that chicken. I am very passionate about this drumstick, and you don't need any other way to know that my cry. I'm just going to cry till you get it. And the law actually says there is condemnation in that because you're not following the signs. You're not following what I've actually told you to do. Grace actually says, nonetheless, I'm just going to redirect. Nonetheless, I'm just going to guide Ari to the way he ought to relate, to the way he ought to speak with me. And that's what transformation really enables us to do. It allows us to go through the series of saying, you know what? My life needs a redirection. You know what? Maybe there are some certain things in my life that needs to shift a little bit. So a couple of weeks ago, we had a guest preacher in the name of Shane Baxter, and he laid a word in the house that I felt was really beautiful. He said, it doesn't matter if you've been around for 11 years. It doesn't matter if you've been around for 11 minutes, that the future is yours. And I just felt that was actually the same for our work of Christianity, that it doesn't matter if you've been a Christian for 11 years. It doesn't matter if you've been a Christian for 11 minutes. We all have to go through this training. In fact, for people like me who are pastor's kid, I probably need more training than everyone else in this room, because the reality is that the more we actually want to be like Christ, the more we actually take captive of certain things that need to go. It's funny. It's like the professionals tend to see certain things that even need to improve more and more. So the more we stay Jesus follower, the more we should actually see more things that needs to be corrected, more things that need to change. It's funny how that works. So it doesn't matter 11 minutes, 11 hours, 11 years, we all need this training. And it's good. It's a good thing to want to go through training. It's a good thing to actually apply yourself to say, you know what? What does maturity really look like? Well, I mean, what is the metrics? What is the metrics for saying, yes, I am mature in Christ? Like I said before, Pastor Sam said, that pursuit of perfection, we will never get there. We are only there through the person that we know, Jesus. Jesus gives us the tool to actually reach perfection. In fact, we are made perfect in him. We are not made perfect because we come to church every Sunday. We are not made perfect because we lead a team on Sunday. We are not made perfect because we lead a connect group. We are not made perfect because we serve on Sunday. We are not made perfect even because we are worshipers. We are made perfect because of who we know. And because we know Jesus, we can say, yes, thank you, Lord, for what you have done. Galatians 2:21, actually, don't have that verse in my notes, so I'm just going to read it to you. Galatians 2:21, when it gets on screen, it said, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. Because of who we know his grace. Because of who we know that whatever box we are checking, oh, yes, I read my Bible today. Oh, yes, I made sure I give to the needy today. Oh, yes, I made sure I did all the things that, you know, people would say means I'm a Christian. It's good. It's great. It's amazing that we do that. But we need to always remember that it's because of his grace, because of God's grace. And I love that, you know, when I even just listening to that story from Kendall, more on that later, but just the idea that we can come to church, we can be on that mark of salvation, and we can see the price, just that idea, I believe, is something joyful. You say, this is who I get to be like. This is the perfection I can actually aim for. There's just something joyful about that. So as Jesus followers, I believe there is a sense of passion that shows up as we follow Jesus. In fact, I beg to say, we cannot love Jesus without showing our passion for Jesus. Ari is very passionate about that drumstick. He'll let me know of it. I need to maybe make a video. I think I'm not translating the passion that occurs when Ari wants the drumstick. And when we follow Jesus, that passion actually takes us out of passivity. Yeah? It takes us out of this nonchalant attitude towards the grace we have so received. It takes us out of this, whatever happens, happens. But there's a sense of, like, through that passion, I'm actually going to display certain level and certain actions of the love that I have for this person who have so given me another opportunity to live, giving me another opportunity to be reconnected to the Father. So because of that, I am going to display that passion for all to see. I am going to display that love for all to see. Our passion cannot be eaten, guys. Our passion for Jesus cannot be eaten. In my marriage, it's important not to keep my wife guessing if I'm passionate about our marriage. Really good tip for people yet to marry here. I heard there's a congratulation in order for someone in this church. We just got engaged. So Barnabas and Anna, congratulations. Consider that my wedding gift. It's important in this relationship that we have with Jesus, as we set ourselves on the mark, it needs to be obvious that we are passionate about that relationship. It needs to be obvious. Point two, get set on your mark. This is getting so predictable. Get set on your mark. This is like when you see the athletes, they kind of, you know, just get to this place of like, okay, there's this focus that just comes. There's this focus to the prize that just comes. There's a change in posture that just comes. I know what I'm going for, and I'm just going to act like it. I know what I'm going for, and I'm just ready right now. No distractions. I'm just going to keep my eyes on the prize. We keep our eyes on the grace as followers of Jesus. And I was just thinking the idea that our Christianity, our faith, this faith that we are walking out, the idea that we get to actually, like I said, show that passion, what does that focus look like? How do we actually get set for that? How do we actually go from like, you know what? It seems like my walk of faith is just this maintenance project. There's just like hot fixes here and there. How do we actually move from that and get set for a project of passion? Because the walk of faith, to show that passion, something has to change. And I'm getting there. Don't worry, I'm getting there. The idea is that we are getting set for that great commission, right? We are getting ready to go. We are getting set to go. And as a church, how do we do that? It's important for me in this house right now, as I'm speaking, that there's nobody disqualifying themselves. Because this is for everyone. It's a heart posture matter. We just need to like really know that, yes, this can be me. I can really get set and go. Go to do what? We're also going to get there. It's important that everybody in this room right now, that we know that this word that is coming out of Bami right now is also for me. It's not for the person beside you. It's also for me. And it's also for you. We've been praying for something after that will be softened in the last couple of weeks. And I think that's very important because in this journey of trying to work out our faith, what tends to happen is pressure comes, right? Pressure comes, and before you know it, it's like, woof, this is really unattainable. Woof, I'm not really sure I'm caught out for this. But I'm here to tell you today that God has put in you the ability to work out your faith. That grace is so sufficient. It is so sufficient. It is so sufficient, guys. So, as we get set, as a church, as we get set as brothers and sisters, what actions do we need to take? So I started by saying, through the law, I die to the law, and I only do things out of the love, out of the abundance, out of the life that I find in Jesus. But I believe that that love and that passion and that abundance actually creates something in us. That as we stay on track, as we get set for that race, as God has enabled us and given us all the grace and given us all the strength for all we need to do for that race, that he has given us a very huge component. That component has joy in it. When the pressure comes, that component has joy in it to overcome the pressure. Okay, we're gonna get really sporty quickly. There is a basketballer named Steph Curry. Who knows Steph Curry? This is a beautiful character. When it comes to joy, I think when I see Steph Curry, I see joy. I see somebody who actually enjoys the process. That guy is a joy. Like when he does those three pointers, it's like there's just a level of joy. I'm sorry, Celtic. I'm sorry. There's a level of joy in the way this man trains. There's a level of joy in the way Steph Curry actually goes about his game. For some reason, he has this excitement when he plays. He has this, like, yes, I can do it. Yes, let's go. And he's not without pressure. He's playing at the pinnacle of that sport. But for some reason, this guy is enjoying the process. We do have the opportunity to enjoy the process of working out our faith. We do have that opportunity to say, you know what? I'm going to free myself from the law. I'm going to free myself from all this expectation, and I'm going to focus myself on my love for Jesus, because I know through that something comes out of it. I know it is only through that that these other actions come true. And it's important. It's important because if we don't do that, if we actually don't say the joy of the Lord is my strength, there's a possibility that the pressure will overtake. But not for this house, though. The pressure is not overtaking those in this house. I believe we have so much joy. I believe that we can tap into so much joy of the Lord and can actually project forward His strength. I believe that for this house. I believe that there is a river of joy in us that we're going to let flow. And my heart is so full right now. Like, I'm listening to kind of story, and this is why we do church. This is why we do church. My heart is so full, right? Like, there are stories of people that I know last year, a year ago, it was sadness, but now there is laughter. There are stories of people that I know that because of what they were going through in their life, they found themselves isolated. But for some reason, they got immersed with other Jesus followers. And because of this, there is a new tone. There is a new language. There is a language of joy. There is a language to say, you know what? There is something passionate. There is something special. There is an abundance that I can actually tap into. Because it is through that, passion, the serving comes. It's because of that passion. And it's very hard, like I said, it's very hard not to see somebody who is passionate. It's very hard. So I'm thankful for those stories in our church. It's almost like a trigger to even go even more. It's almost like a trigger to actually say, you know what you're doing right now, just keep doing it. Keep moving forward. Because through that passion, giving comes, tithing comes. Through that passion, ownership for working out our faith, it comes. Where's Charlie and friends? Like, these are amazing people who, from a year ago to now, the level of, they're probably serving somewhere right now, but there's a level of ownership that this couple have taken on that is just so beautiful. It's amazing. Where's Lawrence? Is Lawrence in the house? Lawrence is another guy who has taken a new stride of ownership. It's amazing. Such a legend. And through that passion comes leadership. Manuela is a boss. Can we just celebrate Manuela right now? Manuela is a boss. 2 weeks ago, we had the men's event where we had like 60 men in Hamilton Gather. And that was the first time we were going to do this with Love the City. And more than 60% of the men I spoke to came because of the invitation from Manuela. More than 40 men came because of the invitation from Manuela. If that is not impact, if that is not passion, tell me what it is. I am happy. I am so happy. No, because it's obvious to see the flourishing life. Every time we get up here and we say we want to get people connected to God so that there might be people, stories of life being flourished, of life flourishing. I would say that's what we are going for. But there's actually more to that. And I'm sharing the stories right now because this story is for you and I. This story is to encourage you and I. This idea that as we get set, we focus on the prize, that as we get set, we look up to what is possible for our life. That is for us. So how do we prepare? Point three, God prepares us to go. Wow, okay, you caught on. God prepares us to go. At the beginning, I said, there are times where we say we want to live for God, but we find ourselves, and I'm going to get the keys up, by the way. We say we want to go for God, but we find ourselves falling short. And I said, God has given us the grace to actually work it out. So what are we going towards? In Matthew 28, 19 to 20, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, go and make disciples. Therefore, go and make disciples. And verse 20, it says, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And surely I am with you to the end of the age. He gave that nudge, and then he said, hey, I'm going to be with you to the end of the age. This is what I want you to do. I want you to go and make disciples, because I want other people to know what it takes to follow me. What I've taught you, I want you to teach others. What I've given to you, as you are running this race, I want you to look beside you. I want you to look behind you. I want you to look ahead. Look for people you can learn from. Look for people beside you that can sharpen you. Look for people behind you that you can encourage to come forward, because this is the work of our faith. I actually believe there is no way we can separate our salvation from discipleship. It's impossible. There is no way we can separate discipleship from our salvation. So as God is calling us forward to go, he wants us to go, and he's preparing us. He has prepared us. He has given us everything we need. The people around us who are going to encourage us, the people around us who are going to sharpen us. So what is holding us back? What is holding us back? What is keeping us from going? As I was preparing for this message this morning, this is not in my notes. It just kept saying, choose me. Choose me. The idea of, yes, I'm going to surrender was there, but the idea of, like, just choose me. Let it be obvious that you choose me. Choose me. So what is keeping us from going towards the way God is calling us to? What is that one thing, like Pastor Sam said? The future of this church is disciple makers. That's the future of this church. The people who are going to say, you know what? I see the person beside me. I see the person in front of me. I see that brother. I see that sister. And I'm going to extend my table for them. I'm going to be to them the same person Pastor Greg was to me. I'm going to be to them the same person Jesse, my man here, was to me. I'm going to encourage them. I'm going to pull them forward. And I'm going to make sure that they experience something new in their walk with Christ. I'm not going to do this alone. I'm not just going to observe and maintain my faith alone. But as I work it out, I'm going to look for that couple. I'm going to look for that brother. I'm going to look for that sisters who need to know about my pain, who need to know about my joy, who need to celebrate with me when I have the tough times, who need to celebrate with me, who can say, for sure, I know this is not the end of whatever you're going through, because it has happened to me before. And let me show you what it takes to persevere. Let me show you what it takes to keep going nonetheless. Let me show you what it means to find joy despite the pressure, despite the issues, despite the difficulties you might be going through. That's what we're called to. In one accord, with one mind, with one love, we can actually say, you know what? I'm going to invest in making sure other people in my vicinity, it can even be the person sitting beside you right now or behind you, just take a moment to look around. There are people in this house right now where, because of you stepping out and stepping up through your leadership, through you stepping out and stepping up, through that, we get to know what it really means to be mentored, what it really means to be discipled, what it really means to walk out your faith. Don't get me wrong. The cost of discipleship, I know, is expensive. I know it is expensive. Yet, if we want to live for God, something has to die. To live for God is to let something die. So for me, it's like, what about my career needs to die right now? What about my pursuit of finances needs to die right now? What about what about this daily also needs to die, just because I know if I pursue these things, I'm not actually and truly living for God? And that question is for everybody. We need to ask that question. So what is God asking us to die to? What is He asking us to die to? See, every surrender takes faith. It's a trust exchange. So when He told the disciples, like, go, and I'm going to be with you to the end of the earth, He's saying, as you do this out of the abundance of your heart, as you do this through the love that you have for me, I am going to be with you through it. There are certain people in this room right now that I want to call forward. I want you to take a step. I want you to take that step and just come forward. You know, as you're listening to this word, you know there are certain gifts that God has given you. You know there are certain things that you need to surrender to be able to tap into that gift. If you're in this room, I just actually want everybody to stand up right now. If you're in this room and you know there are certain leadership gifts, there are certain things that you have gone through in your life that people need to know, people need to experience what it means as you follow Christ, that other people need to know about it, I just wanted to call you forward right now. We're just going to pray together. You know there's something in your life that you need to surrender so that you are able to actually show others what it means to follow Christ. Now is the opportunity to come forward. I'm going to wait a minute. Think about it and then come forward. There are certain people in this house right now who, because of your obedience, we can talk about stories of people finding joy. We can talk about stories of people finding hope again. We can talk about people who were isolated before, but for somehow, because they met you, because of your leadership, because of your gift, because of the leadership gifts God has given to you, they can find their next step. So if you're in the room right now, again, I say come forward. It doesn't matter if you have been doing it before. This is a time for you to get back on track, because God is trying to activate certain people right now. So I'm going to invite you, come forward. Come forward. Can I get the whole band back up, actually? We're going to do that. Wells is worthy again. We're gonna set the pace for who else is worthy of our worship, for who else is worthy of our surrender, for who else is worthy of our time, who else is worthy of our priorities, who else is worthy. Don't let this moment pass by without actually tapping into what is possible. So I'm gonna give you the opportunity again. There is a leader in you. There is a leader in you that God wants to call forward. There is a gift that God has given you. Yes, it is costly. Yes. But He wants you to be the one that actually show what it means to follow Christ. If you're in the room, come forward. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. There's something special happening in the room right now. There's a new oil that God is spilling on certain people right now. I know there's so many things going on right now, but I want all eyes closed right now. You can only get on the mark when you give your life, when you commit your life to Jesus. So I want all eyes in the room closed right now. The only way you're going to get on that mark is giving your life to Jesus. And this is the best decision you can ever make.
here's the best decision for you. I want to give you the opportunity today to be sanctified, to be set apart. So if you're here and you're like, yes, I want to dedicate my life to Jesus. I want to commit my life to Jesus. I want to tap into that strength that He so freely gave. I want to tap into that grace that He so freely gave. If you're in this room right now, this is the best decision you can make. In a moment, I'm going to tell you to raise your hand up. I'm not going to call you forward and embarrass you. You're just going to raise your hand and we're going to pray a prayer together. So if you're in the room right now with all eyes closed, you know you want to commit your life to Jesus. Or you're in the room, you know you need to recommit your life to Jesus. I want to give you that opportunity right now with all eyes closed. So if you're in the room right now, you know you want to get back on track to following Jesus. You know you want to get back on track to like say, yes, I did this before. I surrendered my life before. I want to surrender my life to Him again. I want Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of my life. If you've never done that before and you're in the room right now with all eyes closed, can you just raise up your hands? Can you just raise up your hands right now? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. You can put them down now. You can put them down. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Amen, amen. So, brethren, we are going to pray together right now. We're going to pray that prayer of salvation together right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. You can say after me, Dear Lord. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for this opportunity to be set apart, to know you. Thank you for welcoming me into your family. I am now saved. Amen. Come on, let's give some hands for Jesus.
Thanks again for tuning in. If you want to support this ministry, we invite you to give online. We'd love to see you on Sunday. Check out our website at c3toronto.com for online service times and how to get connected. And follow us on social media for real-time updates.